Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Fiend, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. Just thought we'd put something fun on the radio today just to get you going. Cannabis Kid is in the subway in New York. Woo! Good morning, Cannabis Kid in New York.
Get a rope.
New York, New York. How's it going out there, Cannabis Kid? We love you and we miss you and we wish you were here, but man, how much fun are you having? You guys should see the pictures that we get and oh, all the great things. It's just, he's so awesome out there, just sending all sorts of crazy cool stories from across our country and having fun with his besties out there and his man. Oh, it's just a great thing. So, Cannabis Kid, we wish you all the happiness in New York, but come back soon. We always miss when you're not here. So, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. We got a little iconic pop in the background singing, I love it. We love it because we love it. We love cannabis. We love you. And we love having you here for our adventures every Wednesday morning. And that's my dog in the background. We're keeping him in the house today. He tore his ACL, about 4 or 5 weeks ago now. And he has just got a brace yesterday for it. He looks bionic now. He's my bionic boy. And it's doing all right. He's doing all right. But I tell you, what saved him was cannabis, of course. When he tore his ACL, you know, we waited a couple days to see if maybe it was nothing. Of course, we didn't know that. And then we got x-rays. And then they said, all right, let's stick him on tramadol. And that was rough because, you know, it's narcotic and it's for pain and inflammation and all that good stuff. But for him, more so than taking the pain away, it really upset him. It made him nauseous. It made him, you know, dopey and high and getting like that. And it just, it didn't feel good in his belly. And I could tell he sat right back into my lap. He backed himself up in there and just started crying. It was so sad. So I decided to make him peanut butter pop treats. And they turned out to be little 4-milligram treats. I used a strain called Critical Cure. It actually does not smell very good. It smells like dog crap to me, actually. So it wasn't, you know, a strain that I was going to be using regularly myself. Although when we did grind it up and get it ready for our bowl, it smells a lot better than that. More diesely and more foresty than that. But it's a 1-to-1 ratio. It's about 8% THC and about 8% CBD, somewhere around there. They're pretty equal levels. But what the CBD, having the same level as the THC in your CBD, it mitigates the high, it brings the high down. So he's not going to, you know, not going to feel that. Might be happy because you're pain-free, but you're not going to feel stupid and nauseous and anything like that, which is, you know, that's hard for a dog when they can't tell you that they're in pain and they need to, you know, and they need help. So it's really hard for dog. And my apologies, I didn't have our little chat session going. So here we go with the chat session. So now we can all chat with each other. Hi, folks. We're just talking about cannabis and pets and how much this has just totally helped my boy, my dog. He's 10 years old. The vet tried to put him on Tramadol and it was just too much for him. So I started giving him I started out with a half a milligram, just a tiny little piece.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
It is a medicine.
82-year-old retired Harvard professor Dr. Lester Grinspoon is well-versed in the anecdotal evidence surrounding medical marijuana. He's told Urban Rosenfeld's story along with many other patient stories in his book, Marijuana, the Forbidden Medicine. Dr. Both is not the only one concerned about smoking. The 99 Institute of Medicine report says smoked marijuana is a crude THC delivery system that also delivers harmful substances.
There's a lot of things that have hit the literature that have talked about head and neck tumors, for instance, oral tumors, lung cancer.
The Institute of Medicine found that marijuana smoke can deposit up to 4 times the amount of tar in the lungs of a cannabis smoker as a tobacco smoker. Studies have also shown that marijuana smoke contains higher concentrations of the same carcinogens found in cigarette smoke. While scientists are concerned these factors may lead to lung cancer, they still have not found definitive proof. And patient Point Hatfield says smoking is worth the risk.
The thing about smoking the marijuana is it's immediate. You don't wait 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever. It's immediate. And for me, immediate relief was a blessing.
When you smoke cannabis, by the way, the peak concentration in the bloodstream occurs in 2.5 minutes.
When it goes through your lungs, it goes into the right side of the heart, into the left side of the heart, and then right up to the brain.
Most people prefer the inhalation method because they can better titrate when the effect comes on, how long it lasts.
Dr. Grant says until someone comes up with a fast-acting inhaler, smoking may be their best option.
I'm not sort of in the camp with people who say, well, I grant you marijuana may work, but it's absolutely unacceptable because it's smoked. I don't think that's right.
Do you worry about patients smoking?
I don't. I look at the cost-benefit. The cost of having untreated cancer would be far outweighed whatever carcinogens might be introduced to the lungs.
Even Urban Rosenfeld, a patient who smokes 10 to 20 marijuana cigarettes a day, doesn't waste any time worrying about the smoke.
No.
Why not?
First of all, I have over 2 tumors in my body that could be malignant. I should live so long and die of lung cancer.
A 2006 lung cancer study funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse gives Rosenfeld even more to smile about. Researchers unexpectedly found that chronic, heavy marijuana smokers not only had no increased risk of developing lung cancer, but they actually had a decreased risk.
Marijuana contains anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and probably anti-cancer compounds in it.
This is where the complexity of the plant is both a blessing and a curse. With dozens of cannabinoids and hundreds of other compounds, it's difficult to pinpoint the source of the beneficial effects found in the smoking study.
There are challenges in doing research on something that has, 150 different chemicals in it.
Critic Dr. Eric Voth believes the true medical potential of cannabis lies in targeting some of those chemicals, not smoking the entire plant.
There are elements in the cannabinoids and various cannabinoids that have a lot of positive effects and very little addictive or high causing effects.
Scientists have managed to isolate and focus attention on one of those. It's called cannabidiol, and next to THC, it's one of the most abundant cannabinoids in the plants.
CBD is cannabidiol, which is another cannabinoid like the main psychoactive ingredient, but instead of getting people high, CBD seems to be very potent anti-inflammatory and analgesic. So it relieves pain and decreases inflammation. Anti-inflammatory and analgesic. So it relieves pain and decreases inflammation.
Well, what I'll do is I'll just kind of put the stove on low. I'll spoon out a little bit of the cannabis butter, about that much is the dose is worth for the night. And I'll put it into the pan and just let it melt down.
CBDs seem to help my seizures. I'm not using it to get any psychological effects off of it. I'm just eating the butter raw with bread, so I'm warmed up.
And how often do you take that? Once a day, twice a day?
At night, right before bed. I used to be on approximately 14 different prescriptions, and I would still have up to 12 seizures a day. Ray said take 2 handfuls of pills, no more.
While this 27-year-old epilepsy patient is relieved to be taking medical marijuana, she's considerably more anxious about showing her face and has requested we conceal her identity.
Why do you not want to show your face? I am not comfortable showing my face because of all the discrimination that has already happened.
She says both she and her husband have lost jobs when she spoke openly about her use of marijuana as a medicine.
But the fact of the matter is, somebody has to speak up or nobody will hear these stories.
She chose to tell us her story in her artist's studio. Here, she creates much happier works than she did even a few years ago, when her self-portraits plainly showed the toll epilepsy had taken since she was diagnosed at 15.
I've taken pretty much every anti-epileptic on the market, and some with a little bit more success than others. Some of the medicines I was on had nothing to do with epilepsy, and the doctors put me on them to help me sleep or to help with my anxiety issues. The seizures were so bad, I needed to be sedated heavily to sleep. Mm-hmm. The depression gets worse the more you're sedated.
Despite the constant seizures and depression, she graduated high school and was accepted into a private women's college to study psychology and fine arts.
The seizures were so intense by my early 20s that I couldn't stay in class. And as the stress of exams would come closer, that would trigger seizures.
She had to withdraw from college just a handful of credits short of graduation. The seizures were so bad and the medication so debilitating that getting a job wasn't even an option. She was bedbound for years while the epilepsy ruled her life.
My husband would have to call me, you know, 25 times a day from work just to make sure I was still breathing okay. I could not shower by myself because if I slipped and fell, you know, it only takes a half inch to drown. So we were living on pins and needles with me having that many.
That's when she decided to move to a state with a medical marijuana program. She had read stories about its potential to treat epilepsy, and she wanted legal access to it.
How did that impact the seizures? They started slowing down. I had to build it up in my system, and it wasn't until I started ingesting it that they really stopped completely.
The potential of the CBDs in marijuana to mitigate epileptic seizures is not new. Scientists who put together the 1982 U.S. Institute of Medicine report found substantial evidence from animal studies to indicate that cannabinoids are effective in blocking seizures and that there is strong support for further investigation into the utility of CBD in human epilepsy. The subsequent 1999 Institute of Medicine report was less enthusiastic, saying the solid scientific evidence still isn't there yet, and it was unlikely to be a fruitful area for drug research.
Well, I'm not waiting for the FDA approval to come through. It is, I know how it affects my body. And that's one thing that I've learned through taking prescription drugs all these years. I have to know how this stuff is going to affect me, not what somebody else says it does for them.
Not only has it completely stopped her seizures, but she says something in the plant works for her anxiety, depression, and insomnia too. So she sees the scientifically undesirable cornucopia of substances in the plant as a benefit, not a detriment.
The fact is it works. it works better than anything I've ever tried, any pill I've ever taken.
The cannabinoids have multiple actions. It's not just for on pain or, in her case, maybe anti-epileptic action, but for many people, they have a sedative and anti-anxiety effect and so forth. I'm a cancer doctor, and I often suggest to my patients that they consider marijuana for their loss of appetite, nausea, pain, depression, and insomnia. One medicine they could use instead of five.
Critics of medical marijuana are highly skeptical of claims it can treat just about everything. How is it possible that one plant has the potential to treat so many different ailments? Intriguing answers started appearing in the early 90s when researchers pinpointed receptors in the brain and the body that bind with the cannabinoids. Receptors can be described as locks on the surface of a cell, and when the correct key binds with the correct lock or receptor, it opens the door and delivers messages. Sometimes the message is that the body is feeling pain. Other times the message may be that there is an invader and the immune system must attack.
Scientists located two receptors, cannabinoid receptors, one called the CB1 receptor, mainly in the brain, and the other is the CB2 receptor, which is mainly in cells of the immune system.
The CB1 receptors are extremely abundant in the brain, but they're also found all over the body in the major organs, the heart, the liver, kidneys, and pancreas. After finding all these locks that accepted the cannabis key, researchers made the next big discovery. The human body makes its own cannabinoids, called endocannabinoids.
We have this whole elaborate system where we have these receptors in our brain and in our immune system and these circulating chemicals that we produce ourselves that really are very, very similar to the chemicals in the marijuana plant.
The only difference is that the endocannabinoids that we produce are in such small quantities and they're also rapidly degraded so that therefore, we are not high all the time, or, you know, we don't have that feeling of euphoria all the time.
Dr. Prakash Nayagarkhati is a professor of pathology and microbiology at the University of South Carolina. For the last decade, he's been doing research on what's become known as the human endocannabinoid system.
The precise functions of the endocannabinoid system is still being understood, actually.
The discovery of the system, however, is already revealing clues that have bolstered the personal stories of relief. The areas of the brain that control nausea and vomiting, chronic pain, and epileptic seizures all have cannabinoid receptors.
What do these things do? Well, in the brain and the nervous system, the cannabinoid system seems to exert kind of a dampening effect. It's kind of an internal, I like to think of it as a neurological shock absorber. And when they looked in other animals, they found these receptors were present in basically all animal species. So why do dogs and monkeys, for example, need to have cannabinoid receptors?
They must be playing a very critical role in trying to maintain some of the physiological functions.
The whole development of the fact that there are cannabinoid receptors in it.
Well, that's a good question. Why do dogs and monkeys need them? Because, must make them feel good too. All right, folks. Well, that was the weirdest Weekday Wednesday ever. And we're just going to blame Cannabis Kid because he's not here. We love you. If you can hear this, we love you. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. We're so sorry about the sound. And we will gladly be back next week with Cannabis Kid. Maybe even some interviews coming up soon. We've got a couple products to review coming up, and we've got some folks who want to get back on air and find out what the heck is going on in the world, Doug Fine. He's going to tell us all about hemp soon, and we'll get some other folks on to tell us what's going on in the world out there. Lots happening. I'm sorry if you missed the news, but we did get to play a cool video that we do love called Clearing the Slopes for Science of Cannabis. And that's it for us. Happy Weekday Wednesday. Remember, be smart, be safe, and educate. We love y'all. Remember to take your cannabis.